Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we are going to be starting the third message in this series called A Life Beyond Me. A Life Beyond Me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we are indeed grateful for the opportunity that you placed in our hands. Today, Lord, we just need to hear from you. We need a word that is fresh and alive, that is anointed by your Spirit, Father. So we pray anointing, Father God. We pray anointing, Lord God. Anoint us to hear. Anoint me to speak, Father God, that your will and your mind, Father God, would be done in this place, Father. We ask it and believe for it, Father, so thus we believe we have it. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 15, we'll read it here in just a moment. But folks, this morning, as a kind of a follow-up to my message last week, I taught on love, that we should be folks that love. Amen? If we're going to live a life, and we're going to live a life well, I promise you, one of the things we're going to have to practice doing is we're going to have to love the right way. And immediately after the sermon's preached, somebody came to me and said, "Man, Pastor, I got this neighbor, and this neighbor is not very neighborly." Amen? Anybody got a neighbor? Anybody got a family member? Anybody got a spouse? I'm not going there. Okay, never mind. We have those individuals in our lives where, you know, they just seem to be that proverbial, you know, fingernails on the chalkboard kind of sound in our ears. And, you know, it's difficult to love those individuals. And so that's why we're starting where we're starting here in John chapter 15. Because I'm just going to tell you, in my own ability, in my humanness, I do not have the ability to live a life like God has called me to live. I cannot love folks like they need to be loved. Amen? I just can't do it. So I've got to reach out for something that is greater than myself. And that's where we find ourselves in John chapter 15. Let's just begin reading with verse number 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." No branch can love by itself. Come on, tie that in there. "It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, folks, this first message in this series was called The Art of Living. Folks, we just got to learn how to live. There's all kinds of books and material out there that teaches the art of doing all kinds of things. The art of fly fishing, the art of homemaking. All of these books, folks, we've got to, as a body of Christ, learn how to live correctly. I got to tell you, I really believe that the things that our society promotes and says this is the way to live a good life, this is the way to live on the high side of things. Are you with me? To have that 5-car garage filled up with all those fancy vehicles and to have mega bucks in the bank, that's the way of living that our society tells us is good. To dress with the right clothes and to be seen with the right kind of people, to have the right education. Folks, I want to tell you something. That goes counter to what the Word of God says. In other words, our society doesn't have it right. Regardless of what you've been told, the more you have is not going to make you happy. Come on. In fact, I really believe that some of the most miserable people in the world are the ones that have the most. They've come to a place where they have found something perhaps me and you have never found. That happiness is not found in wealth. Because now they're wealthy and they don't have happiness. See, I'm not wealthy. So I don't know. In fact, I don't stand any chance of ever being wealthy outside of the blessing that God gives me. Amen? And I am wealthy in a spiritual sense, because I am a king's kid. Hello. Folks, we got to learn how to live, and that is to practice the art of living. And one of the things we discovered a couple of weeks ago is that we have to refuse to be average. I got to tell you, God's not looking for a bunch of average folks. He's looking for people that excel. And the only way we can excel in the life that he wants us to excel in is by living grafted into the vine. Amen? Getting all that we need from Jesus. The second thing that we talked about in the art of living is not only to be just refuse to be average, but to get up every morning and say, God, would you please make use of my life today? Make use of my life today. And then last week we talked about life being lived beyond ourselves, and we talked about the art of loving. If we're going to live a life beyond ourselves, first of all, we got to learn how to live right. Secondly, we got to learn how to love right. We talked about the three greatest loves of our life. Number one, it has to start with God. We have to love him with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our heart. We've got to love him with everything we have. We've got to be people who are lovers of God. My dad, many years ago, I was driving on the truck with him, and he was. We were visiting this one place, getting a load or whatever. And now you have to get this story right, okay? He drove a truck for a man named Dutch Cox. My dad's inside this building, and the men were doing the paperwork. And he looked at my dad, and he says, "Are you Dutch?" And my dad said, "No, I'm mostly German." And I'm being a knucklehead teenage kid. I elbowed him. I said, "No, he means Dutch Cox. You're a Dutch Cox." "No, I'm not Dutch Cox." My dad's been like that ever since I've known him. I'm thankful that it skips a generation. Three greatest loves of our lives have to be God first, and second, we got to love our families. We got to love folks. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story where so-and-so sits on this side of the church because they're mad at so-and-so that sits on this side of the church. I mean, folks, I'm serious. How in the world can we come to church and hate the person that sits two aisles from us? We got to love our families. We got to love the body of Christ. And thirdly, we've got to be people who practice the art of loving those that are yet to be in the kingdom. I mean, we got to love folks that are still out there that know nothing about the forgiving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know about the enormous love that he has for them. They have yet to experience freedom in Christ Jesus. We got to learn the art of loving. Somebody once said, "Life is short. It'll soon pass. Only those things done for Christ will last." And that is exactly what this whole series is about. It's about living a life beyond us and doing those things that God has called us to do. Loving people, loving people, loving people. We're going to be a person that lives a life beyond us. One of the first things we got to figure out is, first of all, life is not all about us. Let me just talk to you parents for a moment. I really believe one of the greatest injustices perhaps we do to our kids is we teach our kids that life is all about them. And we as parents take on the role of being their servants. And we cater to their every whim. Come on. Because we're so scared our kids might be disappointed. I have a motto in my house. Life's tough. Get a helmet. I mean, seriously, you that are adults out there, how many of you have found since you have gone out into the adult world that everything revolves around you? No, it doesn't happen that way. And sometimes our kids are literally in shock whenever we throw them out into the deep end of the pool and they find out it's ice water. They go, "What? My mama never did it like this." Folks, we ought to teach our kids to be unselfish. We have to learn how to be unselfish. To live real life. You know, to sit down and say, "I'm really living now." I can tell you, it's all about what we do for Christ and we do for Christ's kingdom. That's living. If our day is packed full of doing it for the kingdom of God, folks, I can tell you that you can sit back at the end of that day and say, "Listen, man, this is what life is all about." You see, we've got to come to a place where we say, "God, I want my life to count for something." That's why we pray the prayer, "Lord, use my life. Make use of me today." It's got to count for something. Morning, we're going to talk about something that none of us have any problem with, and I almost didn't preach this message because I believe that all of us can just skate through this. This morning, we're going to talk about being a servant. And I know how much all of us enjoy being servants and how none of us ever want to be served. Yes. No. If we're going to live a life beyond us, we've got to learn how to love. We've got to learn the art of loving, but we all also have to learn the art of serving. The art of serving. To be someone who finds our place on this earth and understand that our place is a place of service. We have been put here to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Every person in this room, every person, regardless of age, regardless of education, regardless of where you might stand in life today, whether you are just starting your career or whether you've finished your career, whether you're just starting your life or you believe you're on the last leg of your life, every person in this room needs to find a place of service. I believe with all that is in me, Jesus sets that prime example for us. He had the right idea. Jesus actually had the right idea. Some of you are getting this, some of you are not. Folks, God always has the right idea. And whenever Jesus came to this earth, one of the statements he made is he said, "Listen, man, I'm not here to be served. I am here to serve." In fact, Jesus made a statement that was really bold. A couple of his knuckleheaded disciples are arguing and fighting back and forth. And this is just going, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And obviously, some of his disciples wanted that chief place in the kingdom. And Jesus says, "Listen, guys, you need to hear what I'm saying. The greatest in the kingdom is going to be the ones in this place that begin to serve. The greatest among you will be the greatest servant." And folks, what we got to understand is Jesus Christ holds the place that is numero uno. He's the number one. He is highly, the most highly exalted. And thus, we understand how he got there because he is the greatest servant that has ever put his feet down on this planet. Thus, he is the most highly exalted. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be a great servant. Jesus' life was devoted to serving. I read this quote not very long ago, and I knew I was going to have a place for it one of these days, but this is, today is good. "Most people wish to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity." Oh. It's true. I mean, seriously, how many of you have ever caught yourself advising God on how to answer your prayer request? Yeah? I wonder if he says, "Talk to the hand." No, I don't know. I've tried to give him the best advice and counsel that I know. I've been a pastor now for almost 30 years, and he just, never mind, you understand. The story is told about a man from the East Coast who had always dreamed of owning a cattle ranch, and he had finally saved up enough money to buy his dream spread in Wyoming. His best friend flew out to visit him, and he asked him, "So, what's the name of your ranch?" His buddy told him that he and his wife had really had a hard time coming up with a name that they really liked. Since he and his wife couldn't agree on what to call the ranch, they settled on this name: the Double R Lazy L Triple Horseshoe Bar 7 Lucky Diamond Ranch. His friend was really impressed and then asked, "So where are all the cows?" The new rancher replied, "We had quite a few, but none of them survived the branding." Folks, I think sometimes we're kind of like those ranch owners, and this is it. I'm talking about servanthood this morning, becoming a servant, being the servant of all. And I think many times what we do is the same thing they do. We overcomplicate serving. I mean, we make this serving thing so complicated. Folks, I've been a part of churches, and please don't misunderstand me. I think to serve in leadership in churches, you need to be somebody that is proved. Come on. I believe that. Before you have a lot of responsibility in your hands and you have other people's lives in your hands, I believe you need to be proven. But there are some churches that make you jump through 48, 49, 50 hoops before you're ever even allowed to do anything. And I gotta tell you, folks, we overcomplicate it. We tell you gotta go through this class and that class and this series of classes before you could ever serve. Folks, we overcomplicate it as a church of Jesus Christ. I gotta tell you, serving is actually pretty easy. This is what you gotta do. You gotta find a need that needs to be done, and then you do it. That's servanthood. Whenever I first got born again, and I've told this story many times, but I first got born again and there was just something on the inside of me that was just welling up that I wanted to do something for Jesus, man. He had just set me free from a lifetime of sin, and it was good, man. I mean, he'd come down and put his arm around me, and I mean, I felt the love of God in my innermost being. It was welling up inside of me, and I just wanted to do something for this amazing God that I was now part of him. So, man, I was just, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" I went to the pastor. I said, "What do you want me to do? Come on, man, I'm here. Let me loose." And man, now I know what pastors go through. And he looks around, he goes, "Okay, we got a guy here full of zeal. What could he possibly do? Because he doesn't know nothing." He said, "Hey, we got this big parking lot on the other side of the fellowship hall." And he said, "I'll tell you, the weeds and the trash, because this is New Mexico, the tumbleweeds had blown up against it, the trash, because they have wind in New Mexico. They have wind that literally rivals tornadoes. That blows stuff around the community. Little children, they just blow across. They don't even need buses there. They just got to get them into the wind and they'll go to school." He says, "Man, wind has blown all this stuff up against the screen, and it was a chain link fence all the way around." And he said, "Man, if you clean that up for me, that'd be awesome." Man, that afternoon after I got off work, you know where I was at? I was down there at the church cleaning that fence up. I was picking up trash. I want to tell you something now, folks. I'm not bragging on myself, but that was the best that fence has ever been cleaned in its lifetime. I wasn't just doing this for the man. I was doing this for God. Are you following me? I mean, every piece of trash, every weed. I mean, it was spick and span. It was awesome. I stood back at the end of it and I go, "Man, you are good. Good." Sorry about that. All that was is I found what needs to be done, and I did it. That's serving. It's serving. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is really our text for this morning's message. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read it out of a couple of versions. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. It says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply." Man, there it is. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I want to read it now, the Message. This is what it says. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time, oh yes. It talks about serving there. It says each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. So this morning, I just want to give you a couple of little principles. I think they're life principles about serving. First of all, serve wherever and whenever needed. Serve wherever and whenever needed. Peter teaches that we should serve others, and it doesn't mean that we should serve when we feel like it, but that we use our life as service. Now, here's my question. Isn't it a whole lot more convenient if we would just serve whenever we felt like it? So, moms, have you ever had a kid? I'm just hoping one of these days that we figure out genetically how to modify a child so that we can only serve them whenever we feel like it. I want to tell you something. All of my kids have been rude. Whenever they were babies, they were incredibly rude. I mean, come in from an amazingly hard day. I worked all day. I just need some sleep. And right there in the middle of that deep sleep, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you've fallen off the cliff and you are sleeping, and you are sleeping hard. All of a sudden, right there in the middle of it, man, so nice to be married to a small wife because I could always push her out of bed. I just shove her out. Go get the kid. I'm kidding. Isn't it crazy how kids sometimes demand service at the most inconvenient times? I got to tell you something. I think being a parent sometimes prepares us for what God has called us to do in the body of Christ, because I got to tell you, in the body of Christ, it's the same way. Servanthood in the body of Christ is not always at our convenience. Come on. Last week, whenever Isaiah was going through this thing, I got a call from his dad, and he said, "Pastor, pray for this eye appointment that's coming up." And I said, "I will, you know, but right now it's real inconvenient. I'm actually here at Lowe's looking for some pipe fittings. But I should have time tomorrow." Come on, y'all understand what I'm saying. I mean, folks, sometimes it's going to come at the most inconvenient place. Inconvenient times. Sometimes it's going to come at the most inconvenient place. I was in Walmart Friday, and we had a buggy in the back of us, had a couple of kids, and, you know, they were all in line. And, folks, I got to tell you, there were long lines, and so we've been standing there a long time. So if you had a place in line, you didn't want to lose that place in line. Are y'all with me? And one of the little ones looked back at his mom and said, "Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. In a minute. I remember those times. In a minute. That minute was too late. Sometimes serving our kids comes at the most inconvenient times. It comes in the most inconvenient places. You're right there in the line. You don't want to lose your place. But as a parent, sometimes you got to step out of line and go take them to the potty. Are y'all with me? And I'm using children this morning, but folks, this is the way life is. Whenever we sign up and we say, God, I want to live a life that is beyond me. And I'm praying, God, every morning that I'm not going to be just an average old Christian, but I want to live a life that's better than that, God. And I'm praying every day, God, use my life. Make use of me, God. Folks, I got to tell you, those moments are going to come wherever, whenever is probably the most inconvenient. I've told the story before about pulling up to an apartment complex, and I was going to visit somebody there, and out on the kids' playground was this man sitting there, and he was just sitting there and doing nothing. I didn't know him, but I was going to know the couple I was going to go visit because that was my job, and I was going to make this visit quick, and I was going to make it efficient, and I was going to get back in the car and get about my day. And the Holy Spirit told me right as I was walking by this young man, he said, I want you to stop, and he said, I want you to minister to him. And I just kept walking. I said, Lord, I am on a tight schedule, and what if he talks as much as Pastor Rick? I said, then I'll be there all day. Y'all follow what I'm saying? At the most inconvenient times. And I can remember just absolutely being stubborn enough to just walk right on by him. I went to the place, I knocked on the door, and nobody was home. Go figure. So I had to make another pass. As I went by the second time, the Lord said, I told you, I want you to stop and minister to him. So I did. One of the most rewarding stops of my life. A young man that had literally, over the years, heard enough of the gospel that he was ripe to harvest. And I began to speak to him about his life and his life that he needed. And he began to confess to me his waywardness. And before very long, we both were knelt out there in that little child's playground, and I was leading him to the Lord. The very next day, he was attending church where I attended church, and he made his own way there. He came to me and he goes, hey, Pastor Watson, I'm here, man. I'll tell you, this is awesome. God has just been doing so many things in my life. I said, man, that was only like 12 hours ago I was talking to you. I seen that young man's life grow and mature and God do so many things in him. And I can't imagine what his life would have been like if I hadn't have stopped. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It wasn't because of me. It was because of God. But it was because I said, Lord, I will serve you. And even at an inconvenient time, perhaps an inconvenient place, we've got to say, Lord, I will serve you whenever and wherever you need me. We gotta be people who learn how to serve God. I went to a fancy restaurant one time. Man, I'm telling you, folks, sometimes I've done things that were way out of my comfort zone and out of my league. It was called the Heritage Club, and it was like on the 56th floor of a big old huge skyscraper, and it was given to us as a pastor's appreciation day. And so my wife and I went, and folks, I'm going to just tell you right up front, it was the Hicks had come to town, because we didn't have any idea, like Beverly Hillbillies had come to eat at a really nice restaurant. I mean, we had no idea what to do. We sat down, and you know, man, these people are ganging up at our table. There's like four of them ganging up at our table. How can we serve you? What do you want? You know, and I mean, I'm just like going, man, I don't have a clue. Let me just explain something to you. I've never been here. I don't have any idea what to order. And they said, well, we'll help you. And they began to serve us. I can remember them bringing out the food, and it was covered up, you know, and they opened the lid and they kind of fanned the aroma into your nostrils, you know. And after the first course, they bring you a palate cleanser. Serious. I go, man, can't you just bring it all on the plate at once? I ain't used to a meal taking an hour and a half to eat. I could have been done with this about 30 minutes ago, and I've been here 35. Then they bring this course out, and they say, this is compliments of the chef. He wants you to eat this. I said, what is it? It's compliments of the chef. What is it? It wasn't really that good, but we ate it and smiled. You know, that's the way we ought to be around Christ, is how can I help you? How can I serve you today, God? My life is a life of servanthood to the Lord Jesus Christ. This next one's just for you young people in the room. You should serve your families, i.e. parents. Whenever they get home, Tyler, get them a glass of tea, prop their feet up, get them relaxed, get the vacuum cleaner running, and move it around on the floor. Oh, no, not really. It wasn't just for the kids. It was for the husbands. You know what I found out? I found out that those grips on the vacuum cleaner are actually unisex. They fit a woman's hand, I mean a man's hand, just as well as they fit a woman's hand. No, I'm not kidding. And mop handles are exactly the same way. Palmolive will make your hands soft just like your wife's. You're soaking in it. Never mind, that's a commercial. Some of you that are about 80 know what I'm talking about. Folks, we got to be people who serve our families. We really do. Husbands, wives, kids, we all need to serve one another. We need to figure out how we can make our spouse's life easier, how we can make our parents' life easier, how we need to serve our kids. Not to the point of indulgence, but I want to serve my kids. You know what I found out? My 16-year-old teenager makes more laundry than the two of us combined as parents. Seriously. I go, how can you wear this many shirts in one day? Then I go to Renee and I said, do you know how many shirts I just folded for him? She says, I folded shirts for the other three, and they did the same thing. I know whenever I was a teenager, I wasn't like that. I think I only had one shirt. And I walked to school every day uphill 12 miles in the snow. We got to learn to serve Jesus. We got to learn to serve our family. And we got to learn to serve the body of Christ. You know, we got people who are greeters, people who are ushers. We got people who come in, clean the building. We got all of these people that serve the body of Christ. We all have to be people that find a job, and we got to do that job in the body of Christ. And lastly, we got to serve our community. Folks, that's what Thank God for Kids Day is all about. You realize that? We haven't gained thousands of people because we do the fair every year. We have, however, received blessings. We got a family here in our church that's saved, born again. I mean, saved, baptized, and they're here every Sunday almost. And it was at the fair we met them. They never knew what kind of weird things was going to happen in their life by meeting Pastor Rick and I that day. The fair is just serving our kids and our community. It's just going down there, setting up our tent, and we spend $1,200, $1,500 every year on prizes and the games and so on just to serve our community. Just to serve them. I'll be very honest with you. One of my pet peeves in the community, in the kingdom of God is so many times churches go to our community with their hands out and say, man, how can you bless me? And I tell you, folks, that is opposite of the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we need to be blessing the communities we live in. The church should be the one. We got to learn to serve wherever, whenever needed. I mean, this is it. I'm going to simplify it. If there's a need in your home, if there's a need at this church, if there's a need in your community, do it. Just find a need and then get it done. That's what servanthood is all about. I think too many times we think you have to ask the pastor if you can do it. You don't. You don't have to ask me to wash my car ever. Number two, serve in the shadows. This is a tough one. I really struggle with how I put this second point together, but it's fairly simple. Serve in the shadows. A lot of people serve for the applause of other people. A lot of times people have a hesitancy to even receive a job of service unless they know somehow or another that that job will be recognized. In other words, one of the most thankless jobs in our community of believers here is probably serving in the nursery. Because rarely, I mean rarely, does one of those babies get up and say, "Thank you for your excellent service today. I have never had a drier diaper than today." It's awesome. If it works. Yeah. Babies just don't say thank you a whole lot. Amen? They just cry. They need their needs met. And many times you leave the nursery and it's a very thankless job unless the parents will jump in there and say thank you to the volunteers, which we need to do that. But this is kind of it. We don't serve for the applause of people. And this is kind of one of those life principles. We need to live to please an audience of one. Just say, "Listen, Lord, I just want to make you happy. I just want to please you. I want your applause in my life. I don't need the applause of others. I don't even need the pastor to pat me on the back and say, good job. I just need you, Lord. I'm serving you." The Bible teaches us that we should serve one another in love. To serve one another in love. And that means simply this. It means that whenever we serve, we don't really care who gets the credit for it. That's what love is. I mean, I use this on my family today because they're, for the most part, almost grown. I use all the things we did for them whenever they were little and couldn't do it for themselves as ammunition to get what I want from them. If I need them to do a specific job at my house and they say, "Well, I don't have time," and I go, "It's a good thing I had time back whenever you needed your diaper changed." "It's a good thing I had time whenever I needed to earn money so that you might have food to eat." Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm the most warped father in the world. But some of you fathers have done exactly what I'm doing right now. Because that's what dads do. No. See, whenever you serve, this idea ought to be wafting through all that you are. That whenever you serve, it just doesn't make any difference who gets the credit for what it is that you're doing. It makes no difference to me. All I want to do is be an effective servant for the kingdom of God. I want to serve God. I want to serve my family. I want to serve the church. I want to serve the community without any applause from anybody but that person who sits on the throne high and lifted up. I've met those individuals before. And as long as I've been in ministry and as many volunteers as I've had, I've met those people that they just needed a pat on the back every time they did something. And I got to tell you something. Whenever you get in a large church and you got a lot of volunteers, you ain't got enough hands to pat that many people on the back. I mean, it all feels good. And folks, please don't misunderstand me. I think sometimes we need to acknowledge folks and love on them and thank them for their service. Are y'all with me? But we got to come to a place where we don't need that. I'm telling you, we could serve the next 45 years and not get one accolade, not get one note of recognition, and we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because we're doing it for Jesus. See, I really believe this. Real servants. I mean people that's got servant printed on their underwear, you know? I mean servants. They're the kind of people that is that they just don't really care who gets credit as long as God is glorified in what they do. I don't care if I get any credit or not. I just want Jesus to be lifted up. So this morning, just to close, it'll take me a little while, an hour maybe. What area are you serving Christ in? See, a lot of times I think we separate this and we say, I really can't serve, I'm not serving Christ if I'm serving my family. But I want to tell you guys, whenever you get a hold of that vacuum cleaner and you're running it and you're vacuuming up all that stuff on the floor and your wife is like looking at you with shock and awe, you're serving Christ as you serve her. Come on. Kids, whenever you prop your parents' feet up and get them a glass of tea, Tyler, and take good care of them, you're serving God as you serve your parents. As we go down to the fair, and folks, you know, that, thank God for Kids Day, is just wild. There's kids everywhere. There's marbles going through the air. I mean, a couple of years, we've got injuries. Our own dart throw guy got darts stuck in his leg. Those kids are terrible dart throwers. I mean, we've had guys that have gotten horrible sunburns out, bucking the bull. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. But you have to understand this. We've just got to be people that say, listen, I have to find a place to serve God, and no matter what, I'm going to serve Him in serving the community, in serving our family, in serving the body of Christ. We're going to serve God. We get a sunburn out setting up the tent. It's a sunburn for Jesus. Amen. Folks, I can take a sunburn for Jesus. I can take working myself down to a little bitty nub. Well, not too small, but a nub. I don't think you could ever say itty bitty in my name in the same sentence. But nevertheless, I'm comfortable with doing that for Jesus Christ. Amen? So what area are you serving Christ in? What are you doing to serve the people here at Trinity? What ministry are you presently involved in that you can say, listen, this is my place to serve? There's all kinds of stuff you can do. You just need to find a place to serve and then serve well. I mean, I got to share something with you. I sat over here on this side, so this is kind of my side, and I look at this bass guitar. And I think, man, if we just had somebody to play the bass. I look at these two guitars, and you know, we basically only got one person for each one of them. So if one of them's gone, we only got one guitar player. We got one guy playing the piano, singing. Got one drummer, poor Chris. I mean, we need a backup crew that can just step in and go with it regardless of who's missing. I'm serious. We've got to have people that begin to step up and say, I'm going to serve. I may not be, folks, you don't want me playing the piano. I'm just going to tell you right up front, okay? But we need folks to serve in the worship team. I mean, poor Dan, sometimes he's back there running the sound and he's changing the slides at the same time, and maybe the slide doesn't change exactly when everybody needs it to change. And so, have you ever noticed this? Everybody's head turns around at once. I mean, we need sound people three or four deep. People to do the slides three or four deep, trained on it, so that whenever something happens, there's no hitch. Come on. We need an overflow of nursery workers. We just need people just go in and love on babies. That's what the nursery's about. I've actually had people tell me, no, I've already done my service in the nursery. I served in the nursery for 14 years. Well, then, man, you must be good at it. You're the person we need. Heaven's sake. in children's ministry, in the food ministry, thank God for kids, in prayer ministry, we need folks to clean up and set up, ushers, greeters, we need people that keep up with the flower beds and all the various things, we need outreach and follow-up and youth ministry, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I got to tell you this, we even need people to serve in ministries that don't even exist yet here at Trinity. It's a lot of opportunities. It's a lot of need. And so what we need is we just need people to step up and say, Pastor, I'm joining up with you. I'm here to serve. So much that needs to be done. I mean, because we haven't really even scratched the surface of all we could do here at Trinity. All the things that we could do for this community, for the kingdom. Man, I hate to say this, but I have to. There's actually more that happens at Trinity than just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Seriously. It's amazing the things that go on outside of the services we have here. And it's my heartbeat as a pastor to even have more things that happen. I can remember years ago going and visiting a church in Phoenix, Arizona, a guy named Tommy Barnett, his church. And this is a church, I don't remember, it seated like 6,000 people. And you have to understand, I came from a building that was really nice. I mean, everything was clean. The carpets were new, and everything was painted and everything. And I got to Tommy Barnett's building, and I'm telling you, I walked in that building, and I was really surprised because it wasn't that old of a building, but yet it looked like it had been road hard and put up wet. Does anybody know what that means besides myself? I mean, man, there was paint knocked off the wall. The carpet had wear marks all over it. And I got to thinking to myself, I thought, man, Barnett, you should keep a better building than this. But then I found out that his building is 7 days a week, probably 20 hours a day open, and they got ministries flowing through there all the time. The place is just buzzing all the time. And so they don't have the ability to keep it pristine. Folks, I'll be very honest with you. We need to have a church that looks wore out. But this is what I hear a lot of times, and I'm closing for sure with this one. Probably. Sometimes whenever I ask folks to serve, this is what they tell me. Pastor, you don't know my background. I've been bad. Really bad. And I just got stuff that I'm a mess about. In fact, I'm still kind of a mess. And so that kind of disqualifies me from serving. Spoke with somebody this last week, and I told him, I said, man, if that was the thing that disqualified us, we'd all be disqualified. You wouldn't even have any pastors. So I started looking through the Bible. And if there's stuff that you got in your background that's okay, maybe you're not exactly perfect even right now, like some of us are. Just kidding. Just kidding. This is what I found out by looking into the Word. We're in pretty good company. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. Mark was rejected by Paul, and Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute, and Amos' only training was in the school of the fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich, and Jesus was too poor. Abraham was too old, and David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God, and Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted, and Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth, and Martha was a worrywart, and Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair, and Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? And so did Peter, and so did Paul. Well, there's a lot of folks that have short fuses. And I could have made the list longer. But the amazing part of it is God stepped in and said, folks, if you want to live a life that's beyond you, an incredible life, a life well lived, If you want to learn the art of loving and the art of serving, the art of living life to the fullest, where at the end of the day you lay down and you look back at what you did that day and you say, man, I accomplished something today for the kingdom, man. I did something today that is eternal, praise God. Woo! Now let's go to sleep. If you want to live a life like that. Because you see, that's really where God has placed our lives at, to be lived so as that we can come to the end of the day, so that we can come to the end of the week, so that we can come to the end of the year and live a life that's fulfilling. So much of what we do is emptiness. A life fulfilled, a life well lived. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. I've often, Dan, you can start that if you would. I've often wanted to go to a print company and get them to print me up a book of prescriptions. You know, like a doctor? Where I could write a prescription and I could give it to somebody and then they go do it. Because, man, if you get a prescription from the doctor, the first thing you do is you run out and you get it filled. Give me these pills. I gotta have them. I'm gonna die. Give them to me. Doctor said, take two a day, one at 1 minute after one, and the other one at 4 minutes after four, or you will perish forever. Amen. And you do it. You wait till that clock strikes 1 minute after one. Follow those prescriptions. Half of those pills don't do nothing for us. And some of them do too much. If you don't believe that, look at the TV ads. But I wish I had a pad of prescriptions that I could write. Because I've actually prescribed this for people before. People that have gone through some really hard times in their life. And please don't misunderstand me. They've gone through hard times in their lives. A lot of times, though, whenever we go through hard times in our lives, one of the things that we begin to do at the other side of that is we begin to feel sorry for ourselves. I've lost somebody in my life that's very important, and I'm saddened by that, and I really feel sorry for myself. And a lot of times, depression begins to creep in. And don't misunderstand me. I think we can all find ourselves in that place. But I've listened to people and their testimony, and they've told me how horrible their lives are, and I said, okay, this is what you need to do. And I just wish I could have wrote it down like a prescription. Sign it. Dr. J.D. No, Dr. Watson. Yeah, that's got a ring to it. Write them a prescription. Say, go out, and this week, once a day, find someone out there and serve them. Just do something to serve them. Because see, whenever our lives are focused on other people, our needs get smaller and smaller and smaller. Our problems get smaller. For heaven's sake, folks, I thought I had a really bad life until I went and served somebody and found out that their life is 10 times worse than mine. And I've came away from that visit going, my goodness, God, I am so blessed and I am so fortunate. Oh, God, please forgive me for being so stupid. It's amazing what service can do for us. It can change our whole perspective on living. And this morning, we can take this message lightly and we can say, Pastor, he's just trying to get more volunteers. No. I'm trying to tell us that life lived as a servant is the most fulfilling life that you could possibly live. Serve others. That's what God's called us to do. Serve them with the gifts that he's given us. Amen. Father, we love you this